wrong.
I knew that.
Are we on?
Yep.
It's 8:46 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. We'll start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. We did not have a Board of Equalization meeting this morning, as Patty and Annette are both gone for training, and that was advertised that way. We had some reports that Patty had to have done and approved, and we did those. We were able to handle those at our last meeting, so that's why we decided not to have one today. Consent agenda. General agenda, 2, approve minutes of the meeting held August 16, 2017. 3, approve all claims through August 30, 2017 in the amount of $495,981.27. Except claim number 170900062 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $330 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence. Receive. Approve utility permit number 1072 Norris Public Power District will be boring 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch core flex, 5 foot below bottom of ditch and under Township Road, 650 feet north of West Pine Road on 89th Road to provide service to Turkey Run Farm, Southeast 4th, Section 22 and Southwest 4th, Section 23, Elm Township 2 North, Range 5 East, Elm Township. And number 6, approve utility permit number 1072, Norris Public Power District will be boring 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch core flex, 5 foot below bottom of ditch, and under Township Road, 1,902 feet north of West Pine Road, Southwest 89th Road, to provide service to Turkey Run Farms.
On that one, you said 1072 again, and that's 1073.
Oh, 1073. Sorry, that's utility permit number 1073. Thank you. Number 7, approve utility permit number 1074. Village of Adams is installing a new 6-inch well transmission main and a new 6-inch water tower transmission main. They will be trenching in 2-foot, 3-foot wide trench, 5-foot below the bottom of ditch, and boring 12-inch steel encased pipe for 6-inch PVC pipe, 5 foot below bottom of ditch for road crossings, and 5 foot below flow line of creeks crossing located in the southeast 4th, section 28, southwest and northwest 4th, section 27, and southwest 4th, section 22, township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. Number 8, approved utility permit number 1075, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., trenching in 5 foot deep from existing telephone pedestal to private property to provide new cable for service to Ron Sattersfield. Number 9, approve utility permit number 1076. Lammel Plumbing will trench in 2 36-inch septic tank laterals, 36-inch wide, 2 to 3 foot deep, 75 foot long, and 10 foot apart, located in the southwest corner of Lot 7, Block 5, original township of Holmesville. Area will run north for 75 feet parallel to west line of Lot 7, then west for 20 feet, then south for 75 feet parallel to 1st Street, then east 20 feet to point of beginning. In the northeast 4th of Section 29, Township 3 North, Range 7 East of Rockford Township. Number 10, approves sending a letter to NERMA requesting Dennis Byers be placed for nomination on the election of the NERMA Board of Directors. And that number 10 is Denny's term is up. On that, and he has very graciously, or he is wanting to run again for that. So this is a letter that we'll sign in support of that. So
thank you.
And that election is, I think, in October, that board meeting or something, I think, if I read that right. Any other questions on the consent agenda?
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. And boy, none of them.
Flip the switch.
Six In favor with Bauman abstaining.
He's
out of the room right now. Well, no, we're abstaining. Bauman's out of the room right now.
He usually votes no on those.
Yeah. Either way, Bauman didn't vote. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 17090062 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $330 for a total of $496,311.27.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by team and second by buyers vote. Five in favor with Churgens and Bauman abstaining. Committee reports. Building grounds, winter lights.
Anything we have Dave here to give us a report on winter lights. Oh, no, building and ground.
Yeah, winter lights, holiday lights were out last week, but that's off until November now. I was just going to talk today about how we invited Windstream and Diode to come down today. For the phone system, the phones themselves are voice over IP. Those are both the same, but I would really like to have them explain the internet, how they're going to bring in the internet, and that internet goes to each offsite office. So this is a good solution to our problem that we have with the OPX lines. Whenever they explain this internet system, it gets confusing. So I'd really like to make sure we're on top of all that. The rest of the things are all on the agenda, so I will be back a little bit later and follow up with that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Did you want to talk about, or do we have it on the agenda? Oh, west side of the courthouse. Never mind. I forgot to, we'll go back up here. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I did skip over that. Just at this time, we'll see if there's anybody. I think most everybody here looks like they're on the agenda maybe later or something. But if they'd like to talk now, they sure can. So, if not, we will go back on to committee reports. Equalization. Like I said, we didn't have that today. Finance or insurance?
We do have later on the budget meeting. It's not a timed item, so I suppose if we want to talk about it now or later, we can.
No, I think when we have the agenda item, I think we'll talk about the budget.
The only thing is we were going through the claims. We do still have, I guess, a conversation for Gus. Is we still, there's at least one claim for $8,721.60. For Hunt Insurance Company, LLC, and that was a last fiscal year's bill, but it just came in, and that increase was up from around $5,000. What's the, I guess, just...
That's the catastrophic insurance that we have every year, and we've tried, but sometimes it won't happen, to get it falling into our fiscal period, but it never does. It's always a little bit later on, but that's what that is. And it's based on, I suppose, on claims across the nation, like other insurance companies, how they do things.
Is there any cause to go out and put an RFP or something to try and get a better rate? I mean, that's
pretty selective insurance. I don't know a lot of places that insure inmates in jails. I mean, that's always something I can look at, but I just don't know. That's the only company that we know of right now that even does that.
So will they let us know, just so we can keep it in the same fiscal year, is there any way they can send us an idea of what it's going to be? Because it looked like that claim dropped. Is it July 21, I think, or something was on? I didn't write that date down.
It was April, I think, initially. It said April something.
Did we make one request to want Ray about come around July 1? Haven't we talked about that before?
What's that?
To come and do with her premium on
April
July 1?
On that one we
April
talked
name.
About.
They aren't wanting to do that for us?
I think we talked about one before.
Well, we did. We talked about once before, and I thought they said they'd try to do that, but anyway, that's what that is.
Okay. It was just a hefty bill for...
Yeah. It's insurance. That's what it's called for that catastrophic stuff that happened in the jail for an inmate, for medical, basically. If we never use it, that's probably a blessing. But...
You want to talk about all the money you're spending
on
the bridge?
Well, spit it out. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Township and County Gravel, $39,752. Contech Engineering Solutions for those culverts, $41,923.
Nellie Wagner Engineering Consulting, $16,756. Rock On Incorporated Township Hauling, $23,307. Those are the large ticket items.
Anything else for finance or insurance? Like I said, we have the budget down there later on the agenda, and at that time we'll have a budget discussion. Human Resources Employees Relations. John?
We completed interviewing eight candidates for the emergency manager position, and we're continuing with narrowing that down, that process of narrowing things down.
Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Why does he continue to think that he can take that for human relations?
Because I'm first.
Management.
I think you guys ought to talk about it in open session. Shake it out.
Shake it out. Well, seeing as how John covered emergency management, we're good there. Law enforcement we'll cover here shortly in the agenda, looks like, unless Gus wants to discuss contract rates.
So this came up Monday at committee. Didn't quite have a county attorney's office, hadn't quite got it reviewed. They did that for me, and it's done, and they got their blessing on it. Copies there for each of you to read. Basically, this is something Myron talked about a couple weeks ago, see if it's something they'd be interested in doing. He was. This is about half his jail capacity is what he's doing here for us. Contracts, just almost verbatim, except we've added in about the per diem, and we agreed to $50, which is about the price that we're paying at most places or less. It ends up being a chunk of change, but what it is basically would just be an extension of my jail down there is what it boils down to, just 15 more beds. So the amount was, I think, for the year was $273,750. So if that's something that the board wants to discuss for the next couple weeks and want to put back on the agenda to approve, disapprove, whatever, it's here for your consideration. It's drafted and ready to go. They signed off on it down that way verbally that they'd be willing to do that. So
we'll put it on the agenda for 2 weeks, and then committee meetings we can have discussion as needed or whatever, but we'll put this on the agenda to approve or disapprove in 2 weeks.
Right, and Roger has the contract, so he's okay.
Yep, he's got a copy.
Got to sign it over.
Yep. So.
We were talking a little bit about this on Monday. We've been over 40 and 50 in the jail basically all year this year, haven't we? The year before, we were in the 30s.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably in that area.
And Matt was talking about trending on that. Do you see us going back under 40 again? I mean, these are, for us to do this, if the beds are going to be full anyway, then it makes sense. I mean, if you see it going back down, I mean, we don't know.
Well, I don't either. I can tell you that I know a lot of stuff they've changed. The legislature's changed on probation violators. They get a lot of if they violate, I think they get like half of that sentence is in jails. A little bit is from our drug arrests. We have a guy doing a lot of drug stuff now, and that's really panning out for us very well. I can tell it's just not us because when you call around, I talk to the lieutenant, a lot of the jails are full. They can't take us, you know. So I don't see it going down, I guess.
We didn't know if that was either a legislative change or...
It's just a little bit of everything, I think. I think Roger can contest to that. I said, we're just busy. I mean, he's probably busy as we are. It's just the business is there, unfortunately. And I'm not for sure. Have you explained to me how probation works on that? You know, that new the laws they passed on that, where they do more jail time?
Supervision after they get out of prison. The other thing is we're going to see, as we already have, more prisoners at the jail level, county level, because the legislature basically changed it that unless it's 2 years or more, you don't go to the penitentiary. And it will be interesting to see what the lawsuit does, since we now have that ACLU lawsuit against the state over overcrowding, et cetera. And again, that's something the legislature has been working under the pressure. They knew it was coming. And I think the governor and the legislature have tried to use legislation to lessen the population in Lincoln and Omaha and Tecumseh. I think the same trends are out there. We're not seeing the numbers go down, unfortunately.
But without getting into it a lot, if you had these beds, you would keep those full pretty much regardless. Yeah,
pretty much regardless.
A little bit of space up here. Yep. For
exactly right.
Cushion
that'd be the
room,
plan.
If nothing else.
That'd be the plan. If we're paying it, we might as well fill them. So.
And Gus, I got a couple of questions for you. One, how many did we used to have over in Saline County most of the time? Because we've got none there right now, but and that's basically went away, right?
Pretty much. We did get, I think, sent a claim in not too long ago for a couple of thousand. We still use them once in a while, but we just can't come to terms on when they're going to accept and not, and I can't deal with that as busy as we are, so we'll still use them from time to time.
They used to have a number of individuals over there, right?
Yeah, well, that's where we kept a lot of them, basically. I think this last time we had quite a few because we had about $2,000 or $3,000 claim, I think, didn't we?
The problem is they're refusing for minor stuff,
yeah.
Medical wise. So then that's why we've been going other places because they just they're and a lot of facilities are doing that. They don't want it. They want the best of the best when we send them out. So Saline is really difficult to work with on the medical portion of it.
So we still use whoever we can. We still did Donson. They had to make a call there like a couple weeks ago, yep. And they had a few spots. We used them, but I'm sure they're full just that quick again. So we do what we do to get us by. That's what it boils down to.
And when we talked Monday, you've got 21 individuals in six different county jails outside of here, plus one.
At that time, sounds about right.
Now, if this was to take place with Washington County, they're not going to have 15 beds available right away. We don't want to pay for 15 beds until we can move people down there.
Well, it depends. My guess is he'll probably be pretty darn close, but he doesn't do near the volume we do.
Yeah.
The other two contracts I asked him about, he has Department of Corrections, mm-hmm. and he has SLANA. Well, being we have been with him longer, those contracts will take a backseat to ours. So I'm guessing it'd be pretty quick. Right away.
But he's still going to have those individuals that need to time out down there.
Depending on what he's got for population time.
And until that point in time, we don't want to pay for that bed until it's not available.
Correct.
Yeah. And the dollar amount that we spend will actually be billed to us on the basis of how many we have there. If we don't have 15.
No, it's 15. That's the idea. This is a guaranteed 15 beds all year
round. Even if we've only got five down there.
We'll have
I don't think
but that ain't going to happen, Danny. We're going to have it full all the time. There'll be because I need, like Eric said, I want that 15 there, so I got the extension. I got the room here for ones that come in. That would be and bring from other jails back.
Well, we're going to have less offenders, and we're going to have less people to send down there. I have no doubt whatsoever.
That's true.
We're going to teach.
Yeah.
I guess part of our discussion on Monday, I don't even know if you were here or not, was the 15, is that, this rate, is that 15? What if we only decided on 10 or 12? I mean, I don't know.
Well, then we just have to discuss that again. I just
you
threw 15 out.
That again with him,
knowing
right?
what our, because if you'll see the stats we're going to give to you in a little bit, our average daily population is 30. Well, that's maxed out for us. That's not counting the ones outside.
That's not counting the outside because I was looking at that.
So, So I threw 15, but we can certainly run by. I'm sure the sheriff has been very cordial. If he'd rather do 10 or 12, it's just a matter of tweaking some numbers. And,
Have you had any discussion with Chief Lang relative to them participating in cost on these prisoners that we're picking up the cost for and they aren't paying for?
Well, funny you should mention that. I just spoke to jail standards yesterday. What we had with a budget. I did some midnight burning of candle oil or candles, trying to figure out some ways to cut the budget. Lincoln and the city of Lincoln and Lancaster had a big rift a few years back, and the city ended up having to pay the county. He does not know if there is case law on it, but there certainly are some interlocal agreements. I think he said Knuckles and County and City Superior entered into one. So when we kind of get a better idea, I'm certainly going to have the discussion because I think we need to start looking at trying to recouping some of the money we're spending on that.
I think we absolutely do. They need to. We're taking care of their prisoners, and we need to have them participate as far as paying for it. I think our board probably all feel that way.
Yeah, so do I.
Eric had a question.
Something else we talked about, and I don't remember if you were here or not, was the logistics of it. You've got prisoners in 5 or 7 different jails. We just thought for being able to go to one spot, that's got to be a
incredible time savings for just trying to schedule in the morning who's going where.
Would help.
How do we get them there? How many vehicles do we need to transport people? Just seems like a nightmare having three here, five there, ten here.
It is.
And there's 16 out of jail right now, or out.
What do we got today? You see the scale we got out right now?
Twenties out of house right now. See people. No, a lot of those are those.
It's not drug offenses either.
Those are drug offenses and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're asking to have taken care of. So now we have to find a place for them to go. Yeah.
So.
Well, no, thank you, Gus. Thank you for working on getting that. And we'll have, like I said, we'll have that. We'll talk about that more at committee meetings in 2 weeks, and we'll have it on the agenda for discussion and possible approval. Gary?
We don't enter into that contract. Do we stay at the $35 rate that we're at now?
No, it'd be 50. That contract goes away, and we're guaranteeing 50 now.
No. We don't agree to the contract. We continue on just like we are right now.
Oh, stays 35. Nothing changes. If you go to Dana, just... And he has started, he's turned us down a couple times because he's been full. So that just be luck of the draw. He's got room when we call that day, just like any other jail. So, yep, same thing.
Oh, one more thing. I offered pizza to whoever has the biggest decrease in their budget from last year to this year. Right now, you're not winning that. Is there any chance?
No, I'm probably going to lose that, Mr. Keeman. I hate to tell you.
I just want to throw it out on the table.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Pizza wasn't the carrot.
Thank you, Gus.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else for law enforcement, emergency management? I know the jail and the sheriff will be part of our budget discussion here later. Road and Bridge.
I guess the big thing, I just talked to Galen, that Hoyg Box Culvert, or Hoyg, Ellis Box Culvert, north of Ellis, the road he said would be open probably this afternoon if everything goes right. They're shouldering and doing some other things right now, so that will be opened up. Budget discussion, basically a 4.5% increase over last year's budget on the spending side. Railroad crossing, Hickory Road. Galen sent out a couple letters, landowners, for tree removals. Has given them 30 days to get tree work completed. And I believe the work on the Hoyg Road is done, and the ditches are seeded. That's basically about it. We have a big project at 9:30. We'll be opening up on those three box culverts. So,
yeah. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, next item on our agenda is a timed event at 9:30, so we'll skip over that until we get to 9:30. Monica Montrose, SEND, present information on household hazardous waste grant that SEND is pursuing. So you introduce yourself, your name, and who you're with.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name's Monica. I am happy to be working with the Southeast Nebraska Development District. Microphones make me nervous, so I'll do my best here. We are looking for ways to improve and increase the types of services that we're offering to our member communities. My background is in environmental cleanup and remediation, and so we're looking at that arena and how to get dollars for your community. Currently, NDEQ has three grants, and the Nebraska Environmental Trust also has a grant that applies to waste reduction, litter reduction, and recycling of materials, as well as scrap tire recycling. So these are all dollars that we're going to try to access. And currently, we're working on a... Sorry, I really am not a good public speaker.
Take your time. It's okay.
Thank you. I did practice on the way down, but I'm going to flub it anyway.
Well, if the microphone doesn't freak you out, the cameras won't either.
I know. Well, hopefully I'll get to do this a lot more and get some more practice at it. Anyways, currently we're working on a proposal for a 2018 household hazardous waste collection event that will benefit Gage County. And I've spoken to the grant administrator at NDEQ and also the grant administrator at NET. They independently told me that these are increasingly competitive because of a decrease in federal funds. So everybody's going after the state funds. They both independently told me that the way to improve our chances is to show a large footprint of benefit. And so that's why we're proposing a four-county collection event. And in each county, we will have a satellite arrangement that is distributed across the county with a hub site such as Beatrice. That way, we're servicing essentially every resident in your county. And that's going to look very favorable to NDEQ or NET. Another way that we can increase our chances is to show support from the county and also show that you are interested in contributing some sort of in-kind contribution. There's no cash match for these NDEQ grants, which means your contribution is low and your benefit is high dollar-wise. So as you probably know, the cost of disposal for household hazardous waste is going to be your highest ticket item. It's very expensive, and the grant funds would cover that. So what I'm hoping for today is that you'll consider supporting this grant proposal process. There are also several that open the beginning of 2018 that are similar. As I said, the scrap tire, recycling equipment, which could be a chipper or something similar, and again, additional household hazardous waste events for those grants. So what that really means for you as a county is a letter of support and the willingness to contribute something like a couple of roll-offs and some trucks and the associated labor. So again, zero cash match on this. I can tell you from past events in this region that typically communities will contribute anywhere from $50 to $1,000 based on your population and how much in pounds of material you're dealing with. So again, very small contribution on the part of the county, but you're servicing all of your residents. It's a great way to keep these materials out of your landfill from being illegally dumped, which can be a real problem, and that takes that financial burden off of the county for managing those wastes. So that's what I have for you today. Thank you for being patient with my nervousness, and hopefully...
I'd like to say, Monica, as part of the new atmosphere and attitude up at SEND, you can already see we've seen a representative from SEND a couple times just recently, so that's wonderful. And this is part of her expertise, so this works out really well. I think there's going to be a lot more tools coming from that office than we've ever really experienced in the past.
That's our hope, and I believe Don was kind enough to give you a one-page synopsis of the household hazardous waste. No, it should look something like this.
Yep.
Okay, and that has my contact information on there. If you have any questions about this current grant proposal or you have suggestions, you might know a business that would like to participate. That's another way that we're going to bolster our proposal is to solicit in-kind contributions from businesses such as discounted or free recycling of computers and so forth. Could be donuts for the volunteers. There's a whole range of ways that we can get contributions from businesses.
Are you dealing at all with the drug disposal? I heard on KWBE radio this morning them talking about people inappropriately throwing drugs into waste baskets and flush in the stool. Are you dealing with that issue at all?
Yes, we are. That is part of our proposal to take medications, unwanted medications.
Okay, good.
There's a very easy way to manage those, and it does not cost a lot, especially if we get those in-kind services from the pharmacy to participate.
Good. We've done it with the sheriff's office when they'll have a van, then they'll have a place to bring. But good. I think that's great.
Yes.
KWB Radio should make a note of that.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Please don't hesitate to contact me if there is some way you think that SEND can help the county in any way.
Monica, right now you want a letter of support. Is there anything other than that specifically you would like? Or
that is basically it, just saying, yes, we will contribute these in-kind services, and we want to participate in this.
If you have some in-kind, some specific ones, I mean, you talked about possible truck or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about that, could you maybe send that down in the next week or so if there's something specific you would like, and then we could put it on the agenda and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Prior to sending that letter, and then
right.
if we send it up, we could include it that way.
I sure will.
That'd be great.
Well, we can place it on the agenda to approve, and if there's any dollar contributions you'd like us to make, that needs to be part of it, too.
Okay. There should be no cash contribution, but the in-kind services will have to have a dollar amount so we can show NDEQ that you are contributing something.
Good.
Thank you.
You do great. You do great. Keep it up.
Thanks.
And you were very articulate in your presentation, so just take a deep breath and you did just fine.
Thank you, Monica. Next on the agenda, we have Sheriff Gustafson with the second quarter report for sheriff, jail, and courthouse screening. Because we've got 14 minutes yet before a timed event. So we'll
Sheriff, do you still take random drugs?
Can you reword that, please?
Yeah.
Sergeant Davidson,
can you answer that with a yes or no? Do you still take random drugs?
Pleading the fifth. I'm going to have Sergeant Shepherdson come up here and give his quarterly report because he's got to get back to court real quick. So, Brian.
Thank you. You should have a sheet of paper that looks something like this.
Yep.
During the second quarter, we were open every day that the courthouse was open. That was 62 days. We had almost 3,300 people come through the screening station. Again, that's patrons, not attorneys or social workers or anything like that, which averages out about 53 a day. We had 208 inmates brought over the courthouse. I think one day we had 14 inmates brought over during just that one day. We had the 65 cutting or stabbing instruments, 5 canisters of pepper spray or mace, and we had one lady who insisted on bringing her cat to court, but we got that negotiated out. 9 people were arrested on outstanding warrants. 9 people were remanded into fresh custody. We also assisted with corrections when there were short staff with escorting 21 inmates from the jail. We served 5 civil process papers. We made 12 arrests and 2 felony arrests. And one person was intoxicated, showed up for court, helped with a medical emergency in the courtroom. A baggie of mixed of tobacco and marijuana was found by the mailboxes on the southeast corner of the courthouse. Attended a safety committee meeting, and then for a quarterly training with courthouse staff, we practiced our bomb threat procedure. So, any questions?
You made 12 misdemeanor and 2 felony arrests. That's on the floor up there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, some of them outside, but
okay.
It was done by court deputies.
It was done by the deputies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know one felony arrest was a drug possession. And I think maybe the other one was a weapons violation. I don't remember.
Those are found by when you study who's coming in and out, and since they're going to be in the vicinity. So that's by his homework and.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Do you catch anybody driving away after they don't have a license?
Often.
I heard it. No, I rode my bike today.
Yeah. No, you didn't. You have team and pick a park down there in the corner for all the advertisement when people drive down Court Street or 6th Street.
Thanks, Myron. Yeah.
The registration.
Any questions?
Expired,
yeah.
But it's still
the registration's expired.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. No, thank you for your report again. Busy time.
We'll do the jail quarterly report. Under bookings, 157 male, 63 female, 118 felonies, 188 misdemeanors, 128 other. Sheriff's Office arrest, 122. The police arrest, 86. Wymore, 3. Nebraska State Patrol, 13. I don't have the drug-related arrests. I am trying to get the software to break it down better because there's so many categories under drugs. I mean, so many different kinds. It's really hard for me to get a good, accurate number. I'm working on that with the people from Jammin. Alcohol-related arrests, 18. Average daily population that's in-house, 30. Average outside hold population, 19 to 22. This third quarter is going to be a lot higher because it really jumped on that part of it for this next quarter. Income from outside holds, 0. Income from fingerprints taken, $652.50. Income from inmate phone usage, 0.
Sure. You want to talk about that when you get there? Getting that back up.
We contact in cartel, and we will start getting a percentage again of their sales. We waived that because they were putting all of that new equipment in.
Right.
We've contacted them, and they're going to revise the contract to where we start getting that back from them. So, commissary commission income, $3,309.50. Spent on outside holdings, $63,684.96. Transport van miles, $8,220. General care emergency medical, $46,863.38. Vision, 0. And dental, $479.
Question.
Do we have somebody, individuals or several people? I mean, emergency medical just went out of sight.
Yeah, we had several that ended up in Bryan and were there for several days. I don't want to get into what their problem was. I don't think I need to do that here. No. HIPAA violations.
I just want to make a note, too, on the tremendous number of people that were brought in by Beatrice Police.
Beatrice Police, the State Patrol. Do we get any money from the State Patrol for the people they pick up?
Well, and just so you keep in mind, too, on that, the BPD and State Patrol are both enforcing it. Most of the time when we get incarcerations, state law. So
and
basically the county's charged with enforcing state law in this jurisdiction. I'll give you an example of that. In Lincoln, if you get a DUI, the city sometimes prosecutes that versus the county attorney's office. So, and again, that's just a little different arrangement. But I throw that out because it does bring the number in a little bit more. It's something we still need to look at as far as a joint effort, just like communications.
When you look at the booking numbers here in this second quarter, and then you go back and you look at the booking numbers in the second quarter of 2016, these are, you know, I guess I'd call lower even, you know, and maybe similar, but yet our jail population has become so much more.
I think a lot of that is bond setting from the judge. Part of it is, I'm sure, he's setting higher bonds. And
higher bonds that they're not able to make?
Yes.
So is that, or speaking, I guess, then it's the clientele, or, I mean, that's maybe a question for Roger. The clientele are deserving that, or I guess, or is this because the state's requiring us to keep them here longer, or why? I mean, our numbers, when you look at those booking numbers, that should tell you that our numbers shouldn't be going up as fast as they're going up with a fifth.
Well, I think you'd have to go back and literally pull each case out and look at it.
Look at it.
You know, there's times that, you know, we'll go on a roll as far as we'll have people that, and Tony knows it, they'll get an arrest for a possession charge. Then they bond out because that's typically $5,500 for a Class 4 felony. They bond out, and guess what? Within a week sometimes, they get busted again. Either they're out there trying to sell drugs to get money to bond out a friend that got busted with them or hire an attorney, whatever the case may be. So sometimes they get two, three times because they're an addict and each time the bond goes higher. And finally, it gets to the point that they can't bond out. And they get to keep them. Then that thing has to run through district court, which is a felony. It takes some time. I don't know.
But part of it then, too, is it's putting extra strain on the court system. It's putting an extra strain on your county attorney's office.
That's smart. It just does. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'll reflect, I think it used to be able to resolve some cases by, let's work things out. I know people hate that plea agreement thing. But if you don't have something like that, these things bog down even worse than they are. I mean, so you have to try and work that out. But it's getting tougher and tougher because people basically, they want jury trials. There's a real expense, and Diane's got to go through all this stuff and set up jury trials. And at the last minute, they resolve themselves sometimes. And it's just, I don't know. I wish we had an answer. If we did.
I wish we had an answer, too, to get the population back down. We don't have to go to outside, keeps or whatever. But, there's when you look at the booking numbers, that doesn't tell you that we should be
right.
15 population higher.
We're just not getting them out as fast.
When you compare them, there's other things that are getting involved with it then or whatever.
So. We've had several out-of-state warrants that come in. Well, that's quite a process, too. It could be up to, 90 days they could be in there just through the extradition process. So there's another reason why they might be a little bit higher.
Matt?
Help me understand. The number of people, are all misdemeanors jailable offenses, and then others, if they're nonviolent, they're routinely each quarter over 300 folks that we put in there for misdemeanors and others. What are the misdemeanors that elicit somebody being put in jail?
Well, those might be, if they come in with four misdemeanor charges, then that's going to add to that misdemeanor list. Other would be such as civil warrants, collections, stuff like that's where the other comes into effect. They don't show up for court, they get arrested, or a warrant goes out for them for that. So,
is there any level of discretion, with the volume of people? I mean, to take somebody's freedom away and put them in jail for misdemeanors and others, is there any discretion?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Is there any discretion by the arresting officer to put somebody in jail for a misdemeanor that's nonviolent?
Yes. They can be cited.
Depends on circumstances.
And just as a question, don't work in law enforcement. I'm just saying that with the number of people we have in jail,
right?
How much discretion do we have to put nonviolent people in jail?
Yeah, that's up to the arresting officer and the situation that they're in.
That just seems like a big number of the people that are in there.
Yeah.
I think that's a question not only here but all over the state and the country is, do all these people need to be placed in jail? Is there other ways that we can handle these situations without doing that?
And I think the legislature is working on that, too. I think they're working on something. I don't have the bill, but there was something to do with trying to change bond stuff. I don't have the whole details on it yet. It hasn't went through. But, yeah, they're working on. The problem is also that we're getting a lot of post-release supervision from prison. They'll come out, they'll violate, and then probation will bring them in. And then we got them in here, too. So that's only going to get worse, I think.
Well, back in the day, you could set a bond. I used to be a judge here, a justice of the peace, back in the old day. And I would come in, they'd call me on a DUI, and I'd come in and I could set the bond. We'd have bonding companies that would come in, and they would be the investigators, and they would post the bond for the individual. They would pay a fee. We would get the guarantee on the bond. But apparently that's just been totally changed.
There's not very many in the state. I think the one we use is clear out west. And I think the judge has put more pressure on the bondsman, such as if you're going to do a bond, you have to guarantee that he won't drive. Well, bondsman says I can't guarantee that, so then he won't bond him. So I know that the bondsman isn't used as much as he used to be.
You get on their website and you can see the caliber of resident that we have over there, and I guess my soft heart looks at some folks that we are putting in there with some of those cats that are across there, and it just, you know, we've got some people that need to be there. I don't disagree with that at all, but you know, just the volume, are we putting folks in there for nonviolent offenses that really aren't a danger? I'm asking a question because I don't work there. I get that, but I just, you know, we talk about over $250,000 contract for holding and
yes.
all these right. expenses.
That's where...
Well, you have to understand, man, a citation, if it's one they could just cite and release, the officer, the idea of the bond is guaranteed to show up. It used to be, and it still could be if we wanted, if we had somebody stop from out of state, for instance, and they couldn't, we didn't know if they were going to insure them coming back, they'd post the bond right there with us. And we'd put it in a mailbox and everybody move on. Those days have gone away. I think the problem is nowadays you have people just will not appear back to court. A lot of them don't. And you'll get your bench warrants. You know, it's obvious here when Sergeant Davidson's here, they appear in court for driving on suspension. The judge says, do this, don't drive, walk, rack about, get in the car, and get arrested again for the same thing. I mean, it's kind of a vicious circle. And I think it's frustrating that they don't understand, you know, don't do this. And so sometimes citations are okay in certain instances. Otherwise, you're just going to have to learn your lesson, sit in jail and be in front of the judge again and have a bond posted again, hopefully more that time. Or people don't learn their lesson. You know, if it's just a traffic ticket, that's one thing. But you get those that, you know, it is, like the lieutenant says, it's discretionary, but they go pretty much by the statute and say, this is what it says. And so how much difference that'd make, I don't know. It would make much difference or not, honestly.
Gus, we're going to have to pause here a minute. Sorry, John. It's 9:32 on the clock. We have a timed event and stuff. We'll stay around, Tony. We'll okay. have some more questions after okay. a bit. But we do have a timed event at 9:30 on the clock. Entertain a motion to... It's 9:32 right now on the clock. Entertain a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for the bridge. To close, not to accept, award, or reject, but entertain a motion to close bids for bridge match program STWD-CBMP1 C-34-1092 of Gage County, C-49-220 of Johnson County, and C-64-94 of Nemaha County.
Move to close.
Second. Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Lytle. Vote. Juergens, do you want to look at your thing there? Yeah. 7-0 in favor. So, Galen, you want to come up or I guess we open them first. Then we have you get while they're opening them. Do you want to come up and explain this just quick a little bit what this is? One or the other of Matt's.
Okay. All right, I'm Matt Manning with Minnelli Wagner & Associates, a consulting engineer on this project and others. This, I believe, is the second in Gage County of what they call the County Bridge Match Program, and it's a fairly new program that the state of Nebraska, in conjunction with the Department of Roads, is helping finance some road improvements, I believe 55% by the state, 45% by the county. Gage County took the lead role in this particular project with two other counties, Johnson and Nemaha. So that's why we're opening bids here today for all three counties. It's three box culverts, one in each county. So with that, I think we'll open bids.
And the proposal was for all three of them to be bid together.
That's right. The proposal is
all. Everything all together, and that was part of why... Why maybe through the state program it got approved was because this was a kind of thinking outside the box and going ahead and doing all three together, working together. Matt?
So then we're given authority to accept bids for all three counties, including ourselves.
That is correct.
The other counties, they've given us authority to do that.
That is correct. And I'm thinking that today we'll probably take bids and then evaluate and recommend for the next board meeting.
Next board meeting, have approval after we have time to discuss with each county. And let them review it also.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
If not, I'd take a little bit. If you want to sit down, go ahead. We'll have Terry open the bids.
And Terry, it might be easiest if you just read, not to butt in, but read the total for the project and then the total for the 8-inch doweled pavement alternate and then the dates.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. This particular bid is from High Plains Enterprises. I think on the outer sheet it says they're from Martell, Nebraska. The total for project, $709,528.82. The second item was for the 8-inch dowel concrete alternate, $17,160. Bid is from Hawkins Construction Company out of Omaha. Total for project, $1,309,173.94. The 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $23,765.28. This is from Voigt, out of Bennett, Nebraska. Total for project, $748,884.12. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $22,704. This is from Egbert Construction Company, Incorporated, out of Waumegle, Kansas. Total for project, $709,087.32. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $29,702.64.
Is that the last one, John?
Last one.
This bid is from Collins Contracting Company, Incorporated, out of Wahoo, Nebraska. Total for project, $689,128.99. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $24,393.60. I mean, there's quite an array of companies that have put bids here, you know, so
I'll entertain a motion to accept all bids. We'll refer them to Minnelli and Wagner and the highway superintendents or each of the counties so that the counties can all have time to review them. And that we will approve the low bidder at our next meeting.
Right.
Now, if some of the bidders are here and would like more information, keep in touch with either Matt or one of the highway superintendents and see how that's going if you need more information quicker than that. Is that
accept- That's right, and I'll just add for everybody's convenience that we'll put together a bid tab and try to get it on our website within the next day or two.
So okay.
Bidders can check there.
But if they'd like to know ahead of time, not know ahead of time, if they'd like to know how it's going or how they're looking at things, then you need to get a hold of Matt and have that discussion. But it, like I said, I entertain a motion to accept all bids and refer them for review.
I would entertain a motion, Myron, to accept all bids as read in and to have Manelli and Associates and Galen review along with the other
counties
involved and come back with a decision on the person or company that would be awarded the bid at our next board meeting.
On September 13th. Our next board meeting is September 13th.
I'll second that.
Motion by Juergens and seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0 in favor. And I would, any of the bidders are here, really appreciate everybody bidding. I think it's great to have five bidders on a project like this. We really thank you for that. It, you know, visit with Manelli and everybody else, their office to let them know if this is something that, you know, the state's doing. This is a new program the last couple of years. I know there's been a lot of interest in it from county's perspective that we can actually get some match funds and stuff and help pay for it. So always welcome feedback to know if this is something that good project, great project, or how it's maybe going and stuff, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of feedback. And I know they're planning on doing this some more years. So thank you much. But I really appreciate the bidders and thank every one of the bidders for bidding. Thank you. We'll go back to the agenda item then. I guess Tony or Gus, anybody have any more questions as far as the report from the jail? Or you know, I guess we're trying. From my perspective, we're trying to get a little bit of handle on this. We understand going down to Washington and doing that. I guess we're trying to, as a board, or at least from my perspective, get a little bit of a handle on: should we do 15-10 or not? Are we going to 3 quarters from now, are we going to be down to a lower population or not? It does, I'll say this, it does not look like it or sound like it now. You know, we don't want to go and, Denny had a good question. We're going to pay for 15 beds down there, whether we use them or not. Well, I don't want 15 people here and 15 down there. Yep. And stuff. So, you know, then it's not a wise decision.
Well,
now, we're
going to
stay at 50. Yeah.
If we had crystal ball, we'd all be rich.
We'd all be rich, yes.
This is, you yep. don't know. I can just yep. tell you what it's doing. It's just been going up
yep.
ever since I've been here. So,
but if we didn't try to predict that crystal ball, we wouldn't be representing the taxpayers of this county appropriately.
Yep.
So we need to manage this the best we possibly can.
Well, and we have to understand we're doing this because a new facility didn't get built.
That's right.
That's also the other side of the coin. So it is what it is. So
no, we have a situation we have, and we're trying to make the best of it we can.
So you asked, I presented it, and then you just do what you want to do with it.
I'll thank you very much for these numbers, because while we're having that discussion of what to do with our population, this is very good to have these numbers in front of us. Thank
you. Well, and there'll be a situation, if the board opts not to do this, then we just keep going until we can't do anything anymore, and then we'll just have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the coin. So,
I think the Washington County guaranteed 15 beds will help out on transports, maybe cut back on some of the other counties that we're having to use. I'm not saying we're not going to have to use other counties, but we've got them everywhere. And Dawson County is working with us again. They were full of they used to work 45 a day, I think.
I think that's
it. 45 a day for Dawson. They come get them, take them back out. They had court and bring them back 45. To us. So, I mean, that was really good on our part. But then they started taking state prisoners from the state facilities, and they filled up. So then we had to go a different route. Now they're starting to open up again, so we're starting to utilize them, too, because that saves us on transporting, and it's only 45 a day.
Yep.
How much are they getting for the state prisoners?
I think it's around $80, $90.
Yeah, that's what they charge us up here when we go to D&E with our people. I know that's. I think they're getting $85 or $90 over at Saline.
What do you think our cost is for traveling 55 miles down to Washington County and back? and the time and effort and expense of transporting?
Roughly an hour, a little less. Only 55 miles. But anyway, I don't know. You put an hourly wage. We figured 40.
54.
40 one way? You're talking one way.
Oh, if you're talking round trip?
No. It's 54 miles, too.
It is 54 miles. The other day you said 38, yeah.
Yeah, we're like 38. 40 to Winfrey.
Don's familiar with the area down there.
She was there in the back.
But I actually Googled it, too.
And our costs over here, we're over $90 a day if you take the budget expense divided by the 365 days and then just divide that by your average prisoner. I think we used 40.
I knew that.
Are we on? It's 8:46 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. We'll start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. We did not have a Board of Equalization meeting this morning, as Patty and Annette are both gone for training, and that was advertised that way. We had some reports that Patty had to have done and approved, and we were able to handle those at our last meeting. So that's why we decided not to have one today. Consent agenda. General agenda, 2, approve minutes of the meeting held August 16, 2017. 3, approve all claims through August 30, 2017 in the amount of $495,981.27. Except claim number 17090062 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $330 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence. Receive. Approve utility permit number 1072 Norris Public Power District will be boring 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch core flex 5 foot below bottom of ditch and under Township Road 650 feet north of West Pine Road on 89th Road to provide service to Turkey Run Farm Southeast 4th Section 22 and Southwest 4th Section 23 Elm Township 2 North Range 5 East Elm Township. And number 6, approve utility permit number 1072, Norris Public Power District will be boring 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch core flex 5 foot below bottom of ditch and under Township Road 1,902 feet north of West Pine Road, Southwest 89th Road to provide service to Turkey Run Farms.
On that one, you said 1072 again. That's 1073.
Oh, 1073. Sorry, that's utility permit number 1073. Thank you. Number 7, approve utility permit number 1074. Village of Adams is installing a new 6-inch well transmission main and a new 6-inch water tower transmission main. They will be trenching in 2-foot, 3-foot wide trench, 5-foot below the bottom of ditch and boring 12-inch steel encased pipe for 6-inch PVC pipe, 5 foot below bottom of ditch for road crossings, and 5 foot below flow line of creeks crossing located in the southeast 4th section 28, southwest and northwest 4th section 27, and southwest 4th section 22, township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. Number 8, approved utility permit number 1075, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., trenching in 5 foot deep from existing telephone pedestal to private property to provide new cable for service to Ron Sattersfield. Number 9, approve utility permit number 1076. Lammel Plumbing will trench in 2 36-inch septic tank laterals, 36-inch wide, 2 to 3 foot deep, 75-foot long, and 10-foot apart, located in the southwest corner of Lot 7, Block 5, original township of Holmesville. Area will run north for 75 feet parallel to west line of Lot 7, then west for 20 feet, then south for 75 feet parallel to 1st Street, then east 20 feet to point of beginning. In the northeast 4th of Section 29, Township 3 North, Range 7 East of Rockford Township. Number 10, approve sending a letter to NERMA requesting Dennis Byers be placed for nomination on the election of the NERMA Board of Directors. And that number 10 is Denny's term is up on that, and he has very graciously, or he is wanting to run again for that. So this is a letter that we'll sign in support of that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that election is, I think, in October, that board meeting or something, I think, if I read that right. Any other questions on the consent agenda?
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. And boy, none of them.
Flip the switch.
Six in favor with Bauman abstaining. He's out of the room right now. Abstaining. Bauman's out of the room right now.
He usually votes no on those.
Yeah. Either way, Bauman didn't vote. regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 17090062 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $330 for a total of $496,311.27.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Byers. Vote. Five in favor with Churgens and Bauman abstaining. Committee reports. Building grounds, winter lights.
Anything we have Dave here to give us a report on winter lights. Oh, no, building and ground.
Yes, winter lights, holiday lights were out last week, but that's off until November now. I was just going to talk today about how we invited Windstream and Diode to come down today. For the phone system, the phones themselves are voice over IP. Those are both the same, but I would really like to have them explain the internet, how they're going to bring in the internet, and that internet goes to each offsite office. So this is a good solution to our problem that we have with the OPX lines. Whenever they explain this internet system, it gets confusing. So I'd really like to make sure we're on top of all that. Now, the rest of things are all on the agenda, so I will be back a little bit later and follow up with that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Did you want to talk about, or do we have it on the agenda? Oh, west side of the courthouse. Never mind. I forgot to, we'll go back up here. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I did skip over that. Just at this time, we'll see if there's anybody. I think most everybody here looks like they're on the agenda maybe later or something. But if they'd like to talk now, they sure can. So if not, we will go back on to committee reports. Equalization. Like I said, we didn't have that today. Finance or insurance?
We do have later on the budget meeting. It's not a timed item, so I suppose if we want to talk about it now or later, we can.
No, I think when we have the agenda item, I think we'll talk about the budget.
The only thing is we were going through the claims. We do still have, a conversation for Gus. There's at least one claim for $8,721.60. For Hunt Insurance Company, LLC, and that was a last fiscal year's bill, but it just came in, and that increase was up from around $5,000.
That's the catastrophic insurance that we have every year, and we've tried, but sometimes it won't happen, to get it falling into our fiscal period, but it never does. It's always a little bit later on, but that's what that is.
And it's based on, I suppose, on claims across the nation, like other insurance company, how they do things.
Is there any cause to go out and put an RFP or something to try and get a better rate? I mean, that's
pretty selective insurance. I don't know a lot of places that insure inmates in jails. I mean, that's always something I can look at, but I just don't know. That's the only company that we know of right now that even does that.
So will they let us know, just so we can keep it in the same fiscal year, is there any way they can send us an idea of what it's going to be? Because it looked like that claim dropped. Was it July 21, I think, or something was on? I didn't write that date down.
It was April, I think, initially. It said April something.
Can we make one request to what rate about come around July 1? Haven't we talked about that before?
What's that?
To come and do with their premiums on July 1?
On that one we talked about.
They aren't wanting to do that for us?
I don't know.
think we talked about one before.
Well, we did. We talked about once before, and said, I thought they said they'd try to do that, but anyway, that's what that is.
Okay. It was just a hefty bill for...
Yeah. It's insurance. That's what it's called for that catastrophic stuff that happened in the jail for an inmate. For medical, basically. We never use it. That's probably a blessing. But...
You want to talk about all the money you're spending
on
the bridge?
Spit it out. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Township and County Gravel, $39,752. Contech Engineering Solutions for those culverts, $41,923. Manelli Wagner Engineering Consulting, $16,756. Rock On Incorporated Township Hauling, $23,307. Those are the large ticket items.
Anything else for finance or insurance? Like I said, we have the budget down there later on the agenda, and at that time we'll have a budget discussion. Human Resources Employees Relations. Don?
We completed interviewing eight candidates for the emergency manager position, and we're continuing with narrowing that down, the process of narrowing things down.
Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Why does he continue to think that he can take that for Human Relations?
Because I'm first.
Management.
I think you guys ought to talk about it in open session. Shake it out.
Shake it out.
Well, seeing as how John covered emergency management, we're good there. Law enforcement we'll cover here shortly in the agenda, looks like, unless Gus wants to discuss contract rates.
So this came up Monday at committee. Didn't quite have a county attorney's office, hadn't quite got it reviewed. They did that for me, and it's done, and they got their blessing on it. Copies there for each of you to read. Basically, this is something Myron talked about a couple weeks ago, see if it's something they'd be interested in doing. He was. This is about half his jail capacity is what he's doing here for us. Contracts, just almost verbatim, except we've added in about the per diem, and we agreed to $50, which is about the price that we're paying at most places or less. It ends up being a chunk of change, but what it is basically would just be an extension of my jail down there is what it boils down to. Gives 15 more beds. So... the amount was, I think, for the year was $273,750. So if that's something that the board wants to discuss for the next couple weeks and want to put back on the agenda to approve, disapprove, whatever, it's here for your consideration. It's drafted and ready to go. They signed off on it down that way verbally that they'd be willing to do that. So
we'll put it on the agenda for 2 weeks, and then committee meetings we can have discussion as needed or whatever, but we'll put this on the agenda approve or disapprove in 2 weeks.
Right, and Roger has the contract, so he's okay.
Yep, he's got a copy. You
got to send it over.
Yep. So
we were talking a little bit about this on Monday. We've been over 40 and 50 in the jail basically all year this year, haven't we? The year before, we were in the 30s.
Yeah, probably in that area.
And Matt was talking about trending on that. Do you see us going back under 40 again? I mean, these are, for us to do this, if the beds are going to be full anyway, then it makes sense. I mean, if you see it going back down, I mean, we don't know.
Well, I don't either. I can tell you that I know a lot of stuff they've changed. The legislature's changed on probation violators. They get a lot of if they violate, I think they get like half of that sentence is in jails. A little bit is from our drug arrests. We have a guy doing a lot of drug stuff now, and that's really panning out for us very well. I can tell it's just not us because when we call around, I talk to the lieutenant. A lot of the jails are full. They can't take us. You know, so I don't see it going down. I guess it's.
We didn't know if that was a legislative change or.
It's just a little bit of everything, I think. I think Roger can contest to that. I said, we're just busy. I mean, he's probably busy as we are. It just, the business is there, unfortunately. And I'm not for sure. Have you explained to him how probation works on that? You know, that new, the laws they passed on that where they do more jail time?
Supervision after they get out of prison. The other thing is we're going to see, as we already have, more prisoners at the jail level, county level, because the legislature basically changed it that unless it's 2 years or more, you don't go to the penitentiary. And, you know, it will be interesting to see what the lawsuit does, since we now have that ACLU lawsuit against the state over overcrowding, et cetera. And again, that's something the legislature has been working under the pressure. They knew it was coming. And I think the governor and the legislature have tried to use legislation to lessen the population in Lincoln and Omaha and Tecumseh. I think the same trends are out there. We're not seeing the numbers go down, unfortunately.
But without getting into it a lot, if you had these beds, you would keep those full pretty much regardless. Yeah,
pretty much regardless.
A little bit of space up here. For
exactly right. That'd be the plan.
Cushion room, if nothing else.
That'd be the plan. If we're paying it, we might as well fill them. So.
And Gus, I got a couple of questions for you. One, how many did we used to have over in Saline County most of the time? Because we've got none there right now, but and that's basically went away, right?
Pretty much. We did get, I think, sent a claim in not too long ago for a couple of thousand. We still use them once in a while, but we just can't come to terms on when they're going to accept and not, and I can't deal with that as busy as we are. So we'll still use them from time to time.
They used to have a number of individuals over there, right?
Yeah, well, that's where we kept a lot of them, basically. I think this last time we had quite a few because we had about a $2,000 or $3,000 claim, I think, didn't we?
The problem is they're refusing for minor stuff, medical wise. So then that's why we've been going other places because they just they're and a lot of facilities are doing that. They don't want it. They want the best of the best when we send them out. So Saline is really difficult to work with on the medical portion of it.
So we still use whoever we can. We still did Donson. They had to make a call there, like I said, a couple weeks ago, and they had a few spots. We used them, but I'm sure they're full just that quick again. So we do what we do to get us by. That's what it boils down to.
And when we talked Monday, you've got 21 individuals in six different county jails outside of here, plus one
D&D. At that time, sounds about right.
Now, if this was to take place with Washington County, they're not going to have 15 beds available right away. We don't want to pay for 15 beds until we can move people down there.
Well, it depends. My guess is he'll probably be pretty darn close, but he doesn't do near the volume we do.
Yeah.
The other two contracts I asked him about, he has Department of Corrections and he has SLANA. Well, being we have been with him longer, those contracts will take a backseat to ours. So I'm guessing it'd be pretty quick. Right away.
But he's still going to have those individuals that need to time out down there.
Depending on what he's got for population time.
And until that point in time, we don't want to pay for that bed until it's not available.
Correct.
Yeah. And the dollar amount that we spend will actually be billed to us on the basis of how many we have there. If we don't have 15.
No, it's 15. That's the idea. This is a guaranteed 15 beds all year
even
round.
Even if we've only got five down there.
We'll have...
I don't think
but that ain't going to happen, Danny. We're going to have full all the time. There'll be because I need, like Eric said, I want that 15 there, so I got the extension. I got the room here for ones that come in. That would be and bring from other jails back.
Well, we're going to have less offenders, and we're going to have less people to send down there. I have no doubt whatsoever.
That's true.
We're going to teach.
Yeah.
I guess part of our discussion on Monday, I don't even know if you were here or not, was the 15, is that, this rate, is that 15? What if we only decided on 10 or 12? I mean, I don't know.
Well, then we just have to discuss that again. I just
you
threw 15 out.
That again with him,
knowing what our, because if you'll see the stats we're going to give to you in a little bit, our average daily population is 30. Well, that's maxed out for us. That's not counting the ones outside.
That's not counting outside because I was looking at that.
So, So, I threw 15, but we can certainly run by. I'm sure the sheriff has been very cordial. If he'd rather do 10 or 12, it's just a matter of tweaking some numbers.
Have you had any discussion with Chief Lang relative to them participating in cost on these prisoners that we're picking up the cost for and they aren't paying for?
Well, funny you should mention that. I just spoke to Jill Stenners yesterday. I did some midnight burning of candle oil or candles, trying to figure out some ways to cut the budget. Lincoln and the city of Lincoln and Lancaster had a big riff a few years back, and the city ended up having to pay the county. He does not know if there is case law on it But there certainly are some interlocal agreements. I think he said Knuckles and County and City Superior are entered into one. So when we kind of get a better idea, I'm certainly going to have the discussion, because I think we need to start looking at trying to recouping some of the money we're spending on
that. I think we absolutely do. They need to. We're taking care of their prisoners, and we need to have them participate as far as paying for it. I think our board probably all feel that way.
Yeah, so do I.
Eric had a question.
Something else we talked about, and I don't remember if you were here or not, was the logistics of it. You've got prisoners in 5 or 7 different jails. We just thought, for being able to go to one spot, that's got to be an incredible time savings for just trying to schedule in the morning who's going where.
Would help.
How do we get them there? How many vehicles do we need to transport people? Just seems like a nightmare having 3 here, 5 there, 10 here.
It is.
And there's 16 out of jail right now, or out.
What do we got today? You see the scale we got out right now?
Up to the 20s out of house right now. 20s. See people. No, a lot of those are those.
That's not drug offenses either.
Those are drug offenses and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're asking to have taken care of. So now we have to find a place for them to go.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, thank you, Gus. Thank you for working on getting that, and we'll have, like I said, we'll have that. We'll talk about that more at committee meetings in 2 weeks, and we'll have it on the agenda for discussion and possible approval. Gary,
we don't enter into that contract. Do we stay at the $35 rate that we're at now?
No, it'd be 50. That contract goes away, and we're guaranteeing 50 now.
No. We don't agree to the contract. We continue on just like we are right now.
Stays 35. Nothing changes. If you go to Dana, just and he has started. He's turned us down a couple times because he's been full. So that just be luck of the draw. If he's got room, when we call that day, just like any other jail. So, yep, same thing.
Oh, one more thing. I offered pizza to whoever has the biggest decrease in their budget from last year to this year. Right now, you're not winning that. Is there any chance?
No, I'm probably going to lose that, Mr. Keeman. I hate to tell you.
I just want to throw it out on the table.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Pizza wasn't the carrot.
Thank you, Gus.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else for law enforcement, emergency management? I know the jail and the sheriff will be part of our budget discussion here later. Road and Bridge.
I guess the big thing, I just talked to Galen, Hoyg Box Culvert, or Hoyg, Ellis Box Culvert, north of Ellis, the road he said would be open probably this afternoon if everything goes right. They're shouldering and doing some other things right now, so that will be opened up. Budget discussion, basically a 4.5% increase over last year's budget on the spending side. Railroad crossing, Hickory Road. Galen sent out a couple letters, landowners, for tree removals. Has given them 30 days to get tree work completed. And I believe the work on the Hoyg Road is done, and the ditches are seeded. That's basically about it. We have a big project at 9:30. We'll be opening up on those 3 box culverts. So,
yeah. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, next item on our agenda is a timed event at 9:30, so we'll skip over that until we get to 9:30. Monica Montrose, SEND, present information on household hazardous waste grant that SEND is pursuing. So you introduce yourself, your name, and who you're with.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name's Monica. I am happy to be working with the Southeast Nebraska Development District. Microphones make me nervous, so I'll do my best here. We are looking for ways to improve and increase the types of services that we're offering to our member communities. My background is in environmental cleanup and remediation, and so we're looking at that arena and how to get dollars for your community. Currently, NDEQ has 3 grants, and the Nebraska Environmental Trust also has a grant that applies to waste reduction, litter reduction, and recycling of materials, as well as scrap tire recycling. So these are all dollars that we're going to try to access. And currently, we're working on a Sorry, I really am not a good public speaker.
Take your time. It's okay.
Thank you. I did practice on the way down, but I'm going to flub it anyway.
Well, if the microphone doesn't freak you out, the cameras won't either.
I know. Well, hopefully I'll get to do this a lot more and get some more practice at it. Anyways, currently we're working on a proposal for a 2018 household hazardous waste collection event that will benefit Gage County. And I've spoken to the grant administrator at NDEQ and also the grant administrator at NET. They independently told me that these are increasingly competitive because of a decrease in federal funds. So everybody's going after the state funds. They both independently told me that the way to improve our chances is to show a large footprint of benefit. And so that's why we're proposing a 4-county collection event. And in each county, we will have a satellite arrangement that is distributed across the county with a hub site such as Beatrice. That way, we're servicing essentially every resident in your county, and that's going to look very favorable to NDEQ or NET. Another way that we can increase our chances is to show support from the county and also show that you are interested in contributing some sort of in-kind contribution. There's no cash match for these NDEQ grants, which means your contribution is low and your benefit is high dollar-wise. So as you probably know, the cost of disposal for household hazardous waste is going to be your highest ticket item. It's very expensive, and the grant funds would cover that. So what I'm hoping for today is that you'll consider supporting this grant proposal process. There are also several that open the beginning of 2018 that are similar. As I said, the scrap tire, recycling equipment, which could be a chipper or something similar. And again, additional household hazardous waste events for those grants. So what that really means for you as a county is a letter of support and the willingness to contribute something like a couple of roll-offs and some trucks and the associated labor. So again, zero cash match on this. I can tell you from past events in this region that typically communities will contribute anywhere from $50 to $1,000 based on your population and how much in pounds of material you're dealing with. So again, very small contribution on the part of the county, but you're servicing all of your residents. It's a great way to keep these materials out of your landfill from being illegally dumped, which can be a real problem, and that takes that financial burden off of the county for managing those wastes. So that's what I have for you today. Thank you for being patient with my nervousness, and hopefully
I'd like to say, Monica, as part of the new atmosphere and attitude up at SEND, you can already see we've seen a representative from SEND a couple times just recently, so that's wonderful, and this is part of her expertise, so this works out really well. I think there's going to be a lot more tools coming from that office than we've ever really experienced in the past.
That's our hope, and I believe Don was kind enough to give you a one-page synopsis of the household hazardous waste. No, it should look something like this.
Yep.
Okay, and that has my contact information on there. If you have any questions about this current grant proposal or you have suggestions, you might know a business that would like to participate. That's another way that we're going to bolster our proposal, is to solicit in-kind contributions from businesses, such as discounted or free recycling of computers and so forth. Could be donuts for the volunteers. There's a whole range of ways that we can get contributions from businesses.
Are you dealing at all with the drug disposal? I heard on KWBE radio this morning them talking about people inappropriately throwing drugs into waste baskets and flush in the stool. Are you dealing with that issue at all?
Yes, we are. That is part of our proposal to take medications, unwanted medications.
Okay, good.
There's a very easy way to manage those, and it does not cost a lot, especially if we get those in-kind services from the pharmacy to participate.
Good. We've done it with the sheriff's office when they'll have an event, then they'll have a place to bring. But good. I think that's great.
Yes.
KWB Radio should make a note of that.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Please don't hesitate to contact me if there's some way you think that SEND can help the county in any way.
Monica, right now you want a letter of support. Is there anything other than that specifically you would like? Or
that is basically it, just saying, yes, we will contribute these in-kind services, and we want to participate in this.
If you have some specific ones, I mean, you talked about possible truck or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you think about that, could you maybe send that down in the next week or so if there's something specific you would like, and then we could put it on the agenda and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Prior to sending that letter, and then
right.
if we send it up, we could include it that way.
I sure will.
That'd be great.
Well, we can place it on the agenda to approve, and if there's any dollar contributions you'd like us to make, that needs to be part of it, too.
Okay. There should be no cash contribution, but the in-kind services will have to have a dollar amount so we can show NDEQ that you are contributing something.
Good.
Thank you.
You do great. You do great. Keep it up.
Thanks.
And you were very articulate in your presentation, so just take a deep breath and you did just fine.
Thank you, Monica. Next on the agenda, we have Sheriff Gustafson with the second quarter report for sheriff, jail, and courthouse screening. Because we've got 14 minutes yet before a timed event. So we're
Sheriff, do you still take random drugs?
Can you reword that, please?
Yes.
Sergeant Davidson.
Can you answer that with a yes or no? Do you still take random drugs?
Pleading the fifth. I'm going to have Sergeant Jefferson come up here and give his quarterly report because he's got to get back to court real quick. So, Brian.
Thank you. You should have a sheet of paper that looks something like this.
Yep.
During the second quarter, we were open every day that the courthouse was open. That was 62 days. We had almost 3,300 people come through the screening station. Again, that's patrons, not attorneys or social workers or anything like that, which averages out about 53 a day. We had 208 inmates brought over the courthouse. I think one day we had 14 inmates brought over during just that one day. We had the 65 cutting or stabbing instruments, 5 canisters of pepper spray or mace, and we had one lady who insisted on bringing her cat to court, but we got that negotiated out. 9 people were arrested on outstanding warrants. 9 people were remanded into fresh custody. We also assisted with corrections when there were short staff with escorting 21 inmates from the jail. We served 5 civil process papers. We made 12 arrests and 2 felony arrests. And one person was intoxicated, showed up for court, helped with a medical emergency in the courtroom. A baggie of mixed of tobacco and marijuana was found by the mailboxes on the southeast corner of the courthouse. Attended a safety committee meeting, and then for a quarterly training with courthouse staff, we practiced our bomb threat procedure. So, any questions?
Like when you made 12 misdemeanor and 2 felony arrests, that's on the floor up there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, some of them outside, but
okay.
It was done by court deputies.
It was done by the deputies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know one felony arrest was a drug possession. And I think maybe the other one was a weapons violation. I don't remember.
Those are found by when you study who's coming in and out, and since they're going to be in the vicinity. So that's by his homework and.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Do you catch anybody driving away after they don't have a license?
Often.
I heard it.
No, I rode my bike today.
Yeah. No, you didn't. You have team and pickup park down there in the corner for all the advertisement when people drive down Court Street or 6th Street.
Thanks, Myron.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Expired, yeah. But it's still
the registration's expired.
Yep. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. No, thank you for your report again. Busy time.
We'll do the jail quarterly report. Under bookings, 157 male, 63 female, 118 felonies, 188 misdemeanors, 128 other, sheriff's office arrests, 122, the police arrest, 86, Wymore 3, Nebraska State Patrol 13. I don't have the drug-related arrests. I am trying to get the software to break it down better because there's so many categories under drugs. I mean, so many different kinds. It's really hard for me to get a good, accurate number. I'm working on that with the people from Jammin. Alcohol-related arrests, 18. Average daily population that's in-house, 30. Average outside hold population, 19 to 22. This third quarter is going to be a lot higher because it really jumped on that part of it for this next quarter. Income from outside holds, 0. Income from fingerprints taken, $652.50. Income from inmate phone usage, 0. Sure. You want to talk about that when you get up there? Getting that back up? We contact in cartel, and we will start getting a percentage again of their sales. We waived that because they were putting all of that new equipment in.
Right.
We've contacted them, and they're going to revise the contract to where we start getting that back from them. So, commissary commission income, $3,309.50. Spent on outside holdings, $63,684.96. Transport van miles, 8,220. General care emergency medical, 46,863.38. Vision, 0. And dental, 479.
Question.
Do we have somebody, individuals or several people? I mean, emergency medical just went out of sight.
Yeah, we had several that ended up in Bryan and were there for several days. I don't want to get into what their problem was. I don't think I need to do that here. The HIPAA violations.
I just want to make a note, too, on the tremendous number of people that were brought in by Beatrice Police.
Beatrice Police, the State Patrol. Do we get any money from the State Patrol for the people they pick up?
Well, and just so you keep in mind, too, on that, the BPD and State Patrol are both enforcing it. Most of the time when we get incarcerations, state law. So
and
basically the county's charged with enforcing state law in this jurisdiction. I'll give you an example of that. In Lincoln, if you get a DUI, the city sometimes prosecutes that versus the county attorney's office. So, and again, that's just a little different arrangement. But I throw that out because it does bring the number in a little bit more. It's something we still need to look at as far as a joint effort, just like communications.
When you look at the booking numbers here in this second quarter, and then you go back and you look at the booking numbers in the second quarter of 2016, these are, you know, I guess I'd call lower even, you know, and maybe similar, but yet our jail population has become so much more.
I think a lot of that is bond setting from the judge. Part of it is, I'm sure, he's setting higher bonds. And
higher bonds that they're not able to make?
Yes.
So is that, or speaking, I guess, then it's the clientele, or, I mean, that's maybe a question for Roger. The clientele are deserving that, or I guess, or is this because the state's requiring us to keep them here longer, or why? I mean, our numbers, when you look at those booking numbers, that should tell you that our numbers shouldn't be going up as fast as they're going up to the 50.
And I think you'd have to go back and literally pull each case out and look at it.
Look at it. Right.
You know, there's times that, you know, we'll go on a roll as far as we'll have people that, and Tony knows, they'll get an arrest for a possession charge. And then they bond out because that's typically $5,500 for a class 4 felony. They bond out, and guess what? Within a week sometimes, they get busted again. Either they're out there trying to sell drugs to get money to bond out a friend that got busted with them or hire an attorney, whatever the case may be. So sometimes they get 2-3 times because they're an addict, and each time the bond goes higher. And finally, it gets to the point that they can't bond out, and they get to keep them. Then that thing has to run through district court, which is a felony. It takes some time. I don't know.
But part of it then, too, is it's putting extra strain on the court system. It's putting an extra strain on your county attorney's office.
That's smart.
It just does. And yeah. Quite frankly, I'll reflect. I think it used to be able to resolve some cases by, let's work things out. I know people hate that plea agreement thing. But if you don't have something like that, these things bog down even worse than they are. I mean, so you have to try and work that out. But it's getting tougher and tougher because people basically, they want jury trials. There's a real expense, and Diane's got to go through all this stuff and set up jury trials. And at the last minute, they resolve themselves sometimes. And it's just, I don't know. I wish we had an answer. If we did.
I wish we had an answer, too, to get the population back down. We don't have to go to outside, keeps or whatever. But, there's when you look at the booking numbers, that doesn't tell you that we should be
right.
15 population higher.
We're just not getting them out as fast.
When you compare them, there's other things that are getting involved with it then or whatever.
So. We also have, we've had several out-of-state warrants that come in. Well, that's quite a process, too. It could be up to, 90 days they could be in there just through the extradition process. So there's another reason why they might be a little bit higher.
Matt?
Help me understand the number of people. Are all misdemeanors jailable offenses, and then others, if they're nonviolent, they're routinely each quarter over 300 folks that we put in there for misdemeanors and others. What are the misdemeanors that elicit somebody being put in jail?
Well, those might be, if they come in with 4 misdemeanor charges, then that's going to add to that misdemeanor list. Other would be such as civil warrants, collections, stuff like that's where the other comes into effect. They don't show up for court, they get arrested, or a warrant goes out for them for that. So,
is there any level of discretion, with the volume of people? I mean, to take somebody's freedom away and put them in jail for misdemeanors and others, is there any discretion?
I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
Is there any discretion by the arresting officer to put somebody in jail for a misdemeanor that's nonviolent?
Yes.
Routinely,
they can be cited.
Depending on circumstances.
And just as a question, don't work in law enforcement. I'm just saying that with the number of people we have in jail,
right?
How much discretion do we have to put nonviolent people in jail?
Yeah, that's up to the arresting officer and the situation that they're in.
That just seems like a big number of the people that are in there.
Yeah.
I think that's a question not only here but all over the state and the country is, do all these people need to be placed in jail? Is there other ways that we can handle these situations without doing that?
And I think the legislature is working on that, too. I think they're working on something. I don't have the bill, but there was something to do with trying to change bond stuff. I don't have the whole details on it yet. It hasn't went through. But, yeah, they're working on. The problem is also that we're getting a lot of post-release supervision from prison. They'll come out, they'll violate, and then probation will bring them in. And then we got them in here, too. So that's only going to get worse, I think.
Well, back in the day, you could set a bond. I used to be a judge here, a justice of the peace, back in the old day. and I would come in, they'd call me on a DUI, and I'd come in and I could set the bond. We'd have bonding companies that would come in, and they would be the investigators, and they would post the bond for the individual. They would pay a fee. We would get the guarantee on the bond. But apparently that's just been totally changed.
There's not very many in the state. I think the one we use is clear out west. And I think the judge has put more pressure on the bondsman, such as if you're going to do a bond, you have to guarantee that he won't drive. Well, bondsman says I can't guarantee that, so then he won't bond him. So I know that the bondsman isn't used as much as he used to be.
You get on their website and you can see the caliber of resident that we have over there, and I guess my soft heart looks at some folks that we are putting in there with some of those cats that are across there, and it just, yeah, we've got some people that need to be there. I don't disagree with that at all, but just the volume, are we putting folks in there for nonviolent offenses that really aren't a danger? I'm asking a question because I don't work there. I get that, but I just, you know, we talk about over $250,000 contract for holding and
yes.
All these expenses.
That's
where...
Well, you have to understand, man, a citation, if it's one they could just cite and release, the officer, not even bond is guaranteed to show up. It used to be, and it still could be if we wanted, if we had somebody stop from out of state, for instance, and they couldn't, we didn't know if they were going to insure them coming back, they'd post the bond right there with us. And we'd put it in a mailbox and everybody move on. Those days have gone away. I think the problem is nowadays you have people just will not appear back to court. A lot of them don't. And you'll get your bench warrants. You know, it's obvious here when Sergeant Davidson's here, they appear in court for driving on suspension. The judge says, do this, don't drive, walk right about, get in the car, and get arrested again for the same thing. I mean, it's kind of a vicious circle. And I think it's frustrating that they don't understand, you know, don't do this. And so sometimes citations are okay in certain instances. Otherwise, you're just going to have to learn your lesson, sit in jail and be in front of the judge again and have a bond posted again, hopefully more that time. Or people don't learn their lesson. You know, if it's just a traffic ticket, that's one thing. But you get those that, you know, it is, like the lieutenant says, it's discretionary, but they go pretty much by the statute and say, this is what it says. And so how much difference that'd make, I don't know if it'd make much difference or not, honestly.
Gus, we're going to have to pause here a minute. Sorry, John. It's 9:32 on the clock. We have a timed event and stuff. We'll stay around, Tony. We'll have some more questions after a bit. But we do have a timed event at 9:30 on the clock. Entertain a motion to – it's 9:32 right now on the clock. Entertain a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for the bridge – to close, not to accept, award, or reject, but entertain a motion to close – bids for Bridge Match Program STWD-CBMP1 C-34-1092 of Gage County, C-49-220 of Johnson County, and C-64-94 of Nemaha County.
Move to close.
Second. Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Lytle. Vote. Juergen, do you want to look at your thing there? Yeah. 7-0 in favor. So, Galen, you want to come up or I guess we open them first. Then we have you get while they're opening them. Do you want to come up and explain this just quick a little bit what this is? One or the other, Matt. Okay.
All right, I'm Matt Manning with Minnelli Wagner and Associates, consulting engineer on this project and others. This, I believe, is the second in Gage County of what they call the County Bridge Match Program, and it's a fairly new program that the state of Nebraska, in conjunction with the Department of Roads, is helping finance some road improvements. I believe 55% by the state, 45% by the county. Gage County took the lead role in this particular project with two other counties, Johnson and Nemaha, so that's why we're opening bids here today for all three counties. It's three box culverts, one in each county. So with that, I think we'll open bids.
And the proposal was for all three of them to be bid together.
That's right. The proposal is all.
Bringing everything all together, and that was part of why why maybe through the state program it got approved was because this was a kind of thinking outside the box and going ahead and doing all three together, working together. Matt?
So then we're given authority to accept bids for all three counties, including ourselves.
That is correct.
The other counties, they've given us authority to do that.
That is correct. And I'm thinking that today we'll probably take bids and then evaluate and recommend for the next board meeting.
Next board meeting, have approval after we have time to discuss with each county and let them review it also.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
If not, I'd take a little bit. If you want to sit down, go ahead. We'll have Terry open the bids.
And Terry, it might be easiest if you just read, not to butt in, but yeah, read the total for the project and then the total for the 8-inch doweled pavement alternate and then the dates.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. This particular bid is from High Plains Enterprises. I think on the outer sheet it says they're from Martell, Nebraska. The total for project, $709,528.82. The second item was for the 8-inch dowel concrete alternate, $17,160. Bid is from Hawkins Construction Company out of Omaha. Total for project, $1,309,173.94. The 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $23,765.28. This is from Voigt, out of Bennett, Nebraska. Total for project, $748,884.12. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $22,704. This is from Egbert Construction Company, Incorporated, out of Waumegle, Kansas. Total for project, $709,087.32. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $29,702.64.
Is that the last one, John?
Last one.
This bid is from Collins Contracting Company, Incorporated, out of Wahoo, Nebraska. Total for project, $689,128.99. 8-inch dowel concrete alternative, $24,393.60. I mean, there's quite an array of companies that have put bids here, you know, so
I'll entertain a motion to accept all bids. We'll refer them to Minnelli and Wagner and the highway superintendents or each of the counties so that the counties can all have time to review them and that we will approve the low bidder at our next meeting.
Right.
Now, if some of the bidders are here and would like more information, keep in touch with either Matt or one of the highway superintendents and see how that's going if you need more information quicker than that. Is that
accept? That's right, and I'll just add for everybody's convenience that we'll put together a bid tab and try to get it on our website within the next day or two.
So okay.
Bidders can check there.
But if they'd like to know ahead of time, not know ahead of time, if they'd like to know how it's going or how they're looking at things, then you need to get a hold of Matt and have that discussion. But like I said, I entertain a motion to accept all bids and refer them for review.
I would entertain a motion, Myron, to accept all bids as read in and to have Minnelli and Associates and Galen review along with the other
counties
involved and come back with a decision on the person or company that would be awarded the bid at our next board meeting.
On September 13th. Our next board meeting is September 13th.
I'll second that.
Motion by Juergens and seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0 in favor. And I would, any of the bidders are here, really appreciate everybody bidding. I think it's great to have five bidders on a project like this. We really thank you for that. It, you know, visit with Minnelli and everybody else, their office to let them know if this is something that, you know, the state's doing. This is a new program the last couple of years. I know there's been a lot of interest in it from county's perspective that we can actually get some match funds and stuff and help pay for it. So always welcome feedback to know if this is something that good project, great project, or how it's maybe going and stuff, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of feedback. And I know they're planning on doing this some more years. So thank you much. But I really appreciate the bidders and thank every one of the bidders for bidding. Thank you. We'll go back to the agenda item then. I guess Tony or Gus, anybody have any more questions as far as the report from the jail? Or I guess we're trying, from my perspective, we're trying to get a little bit of handle on this. We understand going down to Washington and doing that. I guess we're trying to, as a board, or at least from my perspective, get a little bit of a handle on should we do 15-10 or not? Are we going to... Three quarters from now, are we going to be down to a lower population or not? It does, I'll say this, it does not look like it or sound like it now. You know, we don't want to go and, Denny had a good question. We're going to pay for 15 beds down there, whether we use them or not. Well, I don't want 15 people here and 15 down there. Yep. And stuff. So, you know, then it's not a wise decision.
Well,
now, we're
going to
stay at 50. Yeah.
If we had crystal ball, we'd all be rich.
We'd all be rich, yes.
This is, you don't know. I can just tell you what it's doing. It's just been going up ever since I've been here. So,
but if we didn't try to predict that crystal ball, we wouldn't be representing the taxpayers of this county appropriately.
No.
So we need to manage this the best we possibly can.
Well, and we have to understand we're doing this because a new facility didn't get built.
That's right.
That's also the other side of the coin. So it is what it is. So
no, we have a situation we have, and we're trying to make the best of it we can.
So you asked, I presented it, and then you do what you want to do with it.
I'll thank you very much for these numbers, because while we're having that discussion of what to do with our population, this is very good to have these numbers in front of us. Thank
you. Well, and there'll be a situation, if the board opts not to do this, then we just keep going until we can't do anything anymore, and then we'll just have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the coin. So,
I think the Washington County guaranteed 15 beds will help out on transports, maybe cut back on some of the other counties that we're having to use. I'm not saying we're not going to have to use other counties, but we've got them everywhere. And Dawson County is working with us again. They were full of they used to work 45 a day, I think.
I think that's
45 a day for Dawson to come get them, take them back out.
had court and bring it back 45. To us. So, I mean, they were, that was really good on our part. But then they started taking state prisoners from the state facilities, and they filled up. So then we had to go a different route. Now they're starting to open up again, so we're starting to utilize them, too, because that saves us on transporting, and it's only 45 a day.
Yep. How much are they getting for the state prisoners?
I think it's around $80, $90.
$85, $90. Yeah, that's what they charge us up here when we go to D&E with our people. I know that's. I think they're getting $85 or $90 over Saline.
What do you think our cost is for traveling 55 miles down to Washington County and back? And the time and effort and expense of transporting?
Yeah, for an hour, roughly an hour, a little less. I don't think 55 miles. But anyway, I don't know. You put an hourly wage. We figured 40.
54.
41 way? You're talking one way.
Oh, if you're talking round trip?
No. It's 54 miles to.
It is 54 miles. The other day you said 38, yeah.
Yeah, we're like 38, 40, but we figured.
Don's familiar with the area down there.
She was there in the back.
But I actually Googled it, too.
In our cost over here, we're over $90 a day if you take the budget expense divided by that 365 days, and then just divide that by your average prisoner. I think we used 40.
Wall going west, and then the wall going north. That would be to wash and remove sealer, repair the walls, and grind out the existing mortar joints and repoint with new mortar, and that came to $41,313. So total is $91,739. He could do this with a lift. He wouldn't set up that big Safi lift that he had last time to get these. And that's why he did. He broke it down into sections to where we could either do part or all three of them.
If you did all three of these, that would complete the west side?
Yes, it would.
And last year we took this out of what part of the budget? Did we take out of this out of inheritance, or how did we finance this last year? We have a special fund for county billing. We have dollars in there that wouldn't affect our budget.
It's a building fund, right?
$300,000.
In there. Okay.
Would that be where we would take money for the sheriff's remodel as well?
No,
just the courthouse.
I mean, you could, but that's.
I mean, we know this is a multi-year project. Is this year three or year two on
this? This would actually be year three.
Year three.
Yeah. And as he's just going to work all the way around.
Can we just do the one west part of the chimney and then call that good for this year and then come back next year?
The first two there, the 45 and the 5, and you're a little over 50,000 then.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out versus another 41 or 40.
We're not in dire need. It needs to be done, but it's not like, you know, we don't have any moisture coming in or anything. But
I advocate we need to get it done.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's what I'm saying. If we just to slowly, you know, I mean, if we do take one section and the chimney, and then just slowly work our way around.
Yeah. You can make a motion of that effect if you'd like, Mr. Bauman.
We've been at this 3 years, and how much of the courthouse is done?
We did the southwest corner. Well, it'd be the south where the windows in front of clerk's office. Yep. They did that area. And then they did this west corner. They did some repair work on the east side up on top. That was not, when they were working on that, they did not wash anything off of that area at that time. So it's pretty much, it did start pretty much at the south side door.
Yep.
And going west that way.
So are we a fourth done, or are we?
I mean, that would include finishing up this west side.
After we did the west side, we'd be a fourth done.
Yes.
Yeah. I think maybe we want to. Do all three of them, or we're going to be forever getting them done. And even though it's money spent, why you get moisture behind stone, it ain't a pretty sight. And
we know there's issues out there, and we know what condition it's leaving the courthouse in.
And I feel it's preventative maintenance. It's not like we're having, you know, serious issues, but it is a 125-year-old building that needs some upkeep. And
we need to do that. It's our obligation for the county. We need to take care of it.
Entertain a motion to do the two or the three, or I'll entertain a motion.
And if we do all three of these, any chance he's going to reduce that third one a little for setup costs? Or
no, he's just doing it off of a bucket, a lift. He did say this phase six is exactly the same as phase four, and he did lessen his bid on it. He said he thought he could do it for this. I think actually it was about $4,000 more on the other side, and since he's kind of done this, he knows about where he's at.
So he did already adjust a little bit for taking that into consideration.
Yes, one more thing I'd like to add. When we did a tour, I don't know if you ever noticed, we do have some dark spots on the building, and we're pretty fussy about that. This is a stone. This is what he is using. It does darken because of the moisture and things. What he is going to do is let it set for a while, and then he can actually apply like a stain on this, and it will absorb a little to kind of lighten the areas. And it's a tricky thing to do. Some patched areas will be exactly right on, and then others will darken, and that's just because of the moisture going through the stone and things like that. So we're giving it some time, but this would be something that he's just going to have to do at his expense. He's not going to charge the county, but he will. We're going to wait and just kind of, you know, tone those out a little bit so everything matches.
Dave, if I remember right, there wasn't a whole lot of people that do this kind of work, was there?
Not. This is called the yawn patch, and there are not very many people that do that. This is a product that they use a lot back east. And honestly, I don't know if there's anybody else in Nebraska that does the yawn patch or not. But this started out with our renovation. This was strongly recommended as a replacement patch. It's been time tested, and so I'd call this a specialty type project.
I guess I'm a little bit of concern if we start delaying this more and more. We're already on year three, and we've got at least three fourths of the building to get over yet. If we start delaying this more and more, at what time does this guy, you know, decide he's not going to be doing it anymore? And then you're looking for somebody to complete something that's
right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And in the meantime, we're going to incur further damage.
Right.
And at the rate we're going, you're looking at 10-plus years to possibly finish it.
It's figured into the budget. I think we should roll with all three.
I'll entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Entertain a motion to approve all three proposed bids.
Projects.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Hill. More discussion? Vote. Six in favor with Bauman against. Next up, discussion on, thank you, Dave, fiscal year 17-18 budget.
Thank you, Dave.
And before we start a discussion on this, our public hearing is?
It'll be September 13th at 10 o'clock is what my intent is.
September 13th at 10 o'clock on our budget. That's when our public hearing, that's when it'll be advertised for. So, Matt?
Just starting, we went over this, we started, finance committee met on Saturday. We also went over this on Monday. Initial requests appear as though they were upwards north of 15% increase in total tax asking. Juergens worked his magic, and we were able to whittle that somewhere around, we thought we were getting close to 5, we ended up somewhere around 7%. We in committee whittled a little bit more, got down to what we thought was around 5%. Current presented budget would be tax asking increase outside of the bond of 3.68%. Wages make up roughly, wages and benefits make up roughly 5.2 million. Proposed tax asking, and I wrote a note, let me find it.
Right here. It's on the front.
No, that's not the one I'm looking for.
Oh, that's not the one? Okay.
Daggummit. Here it is. All right.
Oh, okay.
Proposed tax asking would be increase last fiscal year of 2016, tax asking outside the bond was $8,331,304.14.
proposed tax asking outside of the voter-approved bond for 2017-2018 would be $8,638,123.26. And I would say that that is a 3.68% increase. I'll give a little bit of history here. Last year we had a 2.88%. 15-16 we had a 1.06%. 14-15 we had a 1.67%. 13-14 we had a 3.51%. 2012-2013 we were at 2%. So just to kind of give a little bit of history there, the last time we saw north of a 3% increase in the total tax asking was 13-14. So, again, we've been pretty miserly. We have put dollars into funds that we've been using. We did cut quite a little bit out. I know there are some concerns about some of the things that we've cut and some of the projects that we rolled back and whether or not we're going to be able to do a whole lot of new stuff, whether we just go into a maintenance mode. We did talk about wages, and I believe we were all in somewhat of a head nodding, and we did a wage study, and I believe that if somebody is at or in excess of what they are in their wage array, they will stay put with no increase. If somebody is within the array, they'll see a 2%. And if they're below where they should be in their array, they will be moved into the array. So we tried to create some level of fairness, and obviously that depends on which side of the fence you're on, but we tried to be methodical about that, you know, at some point, every job has a maximum of what they make. And, you know, we do have some long-term employees that have been there, and God bless you, you're at the top of your wage array, and that's where you're at. So we felt that was probably a good place to do things. We did look at the agencies. Unless we were bound by state statute through interlocal agreement or by looking at the agencies, we tried to keep everybody the same as what they were last year. So we did deny several requests. There, one increase that we did see would be the Humane Society, and the sheet here doesn't reflect that, but we've done $15,000. They were $12,000 going all the way back from 2012 to 2013. There was an increase in 2015-16 to $15,000. The request this year was $19,500, and we won a proposed $17,000. Other than that, most of the other agencies stayed the same. There were some that were bound by state statute that actually went down. But so we tried to really keep the interlocal agreements and the agency requests down. And it does put us at a proposed 3.68. And I will say that, you know, we thought we were going to be somewhere around 5, and I think we talked about some of the things that we wouldn't be able to do or to roll back. There are some effects on the sheriff's requests. There were some effects on the road and bridge requests. So that's kind of where we're at. That's a brief synopsis. Again, I think we went and talked about that quite a little bit. I do appreciate the work Don's done. I know I'd give you a lot of grief and a hard time, but I do appreciate the work you do on the budget. I think it makes it easy to work with. And fortunately or unfortunately, you and I have worked together a lot on this over the years, so we don't strangle each other anymore. We just, but anyway, so that's kind of where we're at. There's some discussion there. Sitting at a 3.68 right now, I think locally, where our tax revenue comes from, there's some concern about that industry right now and whether or not we can do much more than that. So.
And I think in the discussions that we've had as we met, Terry and Matt and I, we looked at all these numbers very carefully and tried to use some common sense, and I think we're where we need to be. I think we're at a good place.
And barring any situations here that we are not aware of, and we still have the opportunity to change it, we just would have to republish. We wouldn't have to have a new public hearing, but there still can be changes that have to be made yet.
And the budget is tight. I mean, we're actually funding corrections at less than what they spent last year, so we can basically assume we're going to transfer money to them again, because as much as we don't like to spend that money, it's there.
John's right. We had that discussion. If we enter into proposed contract down here with Washington County or whatever, that those numbers, our current budget does not include enough funding for that whole contract, not our current budget numbers.
So. Our current budget doesn't even include enough to cover what we spent last year.
Well, but the other side of that coin is if the money's not there, you stop spending. You don't buy some things that aren't necessary. You go back to necessary spending. No one got a real cut. There were cuts to increases. That's not a cut. That's still an increase. There are still increases everywhere. Sometimes it's tough. You got to look and say, hey, do we need this? No. Do we need this? No. Could we get by doing this differently? Yes. And, I mean, everybody's going to have to do that. The Highway Department and Sheriff's Department just have the bigger budgets where it's easier to draw from them. When we have the other offices where it's all labor, that's a little bit differently. Sheriff's Department needs some wage adjustments. So, I mean, and I think everyone's basically in favor of those anyway.
I'll comment that when you talk about road and bridge, the initial request came in at, I think, 11.3%. And these are requests based on projects, you know, that we try to put together. And there's always a request versus where you end up. We ended up at a 4.5% increase. The next would, you know, Gus is here. The initial request for jail was 27.5% increase. We ended up on a 10% increase. Last year we budgeted just under $860,000. This year we'd be budgeting $950,000. I'm flipping papers here. So it's about a 10% increase there. The sheriff's budget, there was a 13.9% request, and we went 10%. So, you know, those are we just try to go through and look and – it's your best, you know, it's your best guess. We haven't approved that agreement with Washington County yet. So, and we got, again, there's a couple other things staring us in the face that may make us go back and readjust stuff. So it is one of the bigger increases that we've had in the last several years. So that's where we're at.
And John?
And we continue to have the ongoing issue that we're not able to address the upkeep of our asphalt roads the way they need to be, and some of those are getting in pretty dire shape.
Our roads are, I'll just say, John, our roads are always a concern. And
they
we
are.
We realize it's just like the courthouse. If you don't keep maintenance on them, and you don't keep upkeep on them, in the long run, it ends up costing you a lot more than it does at the current
that's for sure
time. But also this board, I think Monday we had a really good discussion about maybe where we wanted to come in at what increase. When we started Monday, we had a 7% total, or roughly a 7% total overall increase, and we had some very frank discussions about how to not come up with that much. Nobody felt comfortable with that type of increase. Don?
I was just going to say the road initially was about 27% increase.
27,
and then
okay.
Terry and I met and trimmed out a bunch down to the 11%.
Any more discussion? Otherwise, we do have a public hearing at our next meeting on this then. The public hearing will be scheduled for September 13th at 10 o'clock, and that's when we welcome the public and anybody else to come and visit about or express concerns or comments on our proposed budget. We do have a time that we have to have it approved so that we can get it up to the state, though.
Do you feel, though, do I need to make a hearing at 10:15? That's probably going to have that livestock report.
That's not going to take long.
Okay,
no.
So will you leave it at 10? Yep. Okay, that's my concern.
You know, last time we had Jacob, no, at zoning we had Jacob there and one neighbor.
Okay, sorry. So well, we can leave
that
it at 10
then. Okay. That shouldn't take more than, unless something comes up that I don't know about, that shouldn't take more than 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be fine. Any more discussion on the budget? Any more questions, comments? If not, we'll move on to the next item on there. We can discuss that at a committee meeting. So the next item is discuss and approve or disapprove changing the date for the payroll to be moved an additional week in arrears. Several meetings ago, we approved.
So moved, George.
No. The board did approve a motion to move that the last pay period in September to move it another week in arrears. Since then, some things have developed or come about that we were kind of unaware of or whatever. That is, for the FOP, that is a negotiated issue. Because of that, we've had a little bit of discussion with them. They would like to enter in negotiations over that, but we visited back with them and said when we're doing our new contract, that's when we'll negotiate that. We won't negotiate it now. Because of that, the board felt that, or discussion we've had with the board, if we're not moving them back a week in arrears, we shouldn't be moving the whole, we don't want two separate entities here. Yep. One 2 weeks in arrears, the other one 1 week in arrears. So part of why we're having the discussion now is to remove that motion to move it back another week in arrears and leave it the way it's currently at. And then if so desire in the future, March is the next three pay period. We may do then. We've also had some discussion with, especially Don. We haven't had it so much yet with Julie. Currently the issue is when the pay period ends and getting everything in by 10 o'clock. I know some people have been coming in and putting extra hours in. No, part of a discussion we've had with Don is that's not going to happen anymore. If they don't get it in on time, that's corrected in the next pay period. We're not running down. We're not putting in overtime, instructing them not. Part of it is they've trained us how to do this. We're not going to be putting in overtime to run down these issues with pay period. Visit with us. You need 80 hours, you take something else. You take the overtime or comp time or something. You use that. That can be corrected in the next pay period and stuff. We're not putting in overtime just so that we can get their pay periods so-called aligned the way they want them. Part of it is the employee themselves need to make sure that that's correct. So that has been part of the discussion, too. I visited with Don about it several times. Her people are not going to come in anymore and put in overtime just so we can get that pay period right or the way we think it should be right. That can be corrected later on. We'll see if that works. I know I haven't visited with you entirely on that, and we'll have some conversations or with Don. I know you mentioned you're coming in early to do it.
I'm not Julie.
Oh, no, you're not Julie. The other one. Okay.
I'm Bob.
No, you're Diane Wells. Never mind. Julie's, I can't keep you all apart. We'll visit with Julie, though, about it, too, and stuff, to make sure that we get some kind of agreement that we're not putting in all this overtime just so that their pay period's right. That will be worked through, or we will try to work through that. Can't promise you it will. But we need to pass a motion, then, that we do not move in arrears for 2 weeks.
So moved.
Second.
And we'll leave it at the current of 1 week in arrears where we currently are. We are not going to change it. So we have a motion by Lytle and a second by Byers. Any more discussion? Oh, that's Diane. Never mind. Vote 7-0 in favor. The one other thing on here, I have been visiting with our insurance attorneys for the Beatrice 6 and also Pat O'Brien with the Beatrice 6. We do not have it on here at a closed session, but because of some conversations I've had with them in the last few days, we need to have a closed session with that here, a short closed session. There will be no decisions made out of it or come about from it. They had some things that we need to discuss as a board. So that will be in closed session because it's Beatrice 6. I entertain a motion to go into closed session 11-13. Necessary for protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So I would just note for the record that these just came up, so that's why it wasn't on the agenda.
This came up since Monday. Both of these conversations have been since Monday. That's why it was not on our agenda, but we do have to have some discussion as a board about some issues that have come up with the after six. So, who made the motion? Eric Tiemann motion, Lytle second, vote. 7-0 in favor. Thank you.
Okay, so we're
going to
come back out.
Okay, yep. All right, on. Entertain a motion. Hey,
go.
Back.
Let's go.
Hey, entertain a motion at 11:33 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Paul Jurgis, 4-4.
Motion by Lytle, second by Byers, vote.
Come on,
get back.
It's one in favor with Bauman against.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn.
No. Second? No motion.
We're adjourned. 11:33 on the clock.
Chair.